Come behold the wondrous mystery. I wonder if the birth narrative of Jesus has lost some of its profound mystery in light of its familiarity. Come behold the wondrous mystery. This phrase is meant to pierce the familiar, lead us to a place back to amazement and wonder. Much like the angels who split open the heavens, turning a barren field into a booming concert, announcing the birth of a Savior to a group of shepherds. And how did they respond? They went to see. And after seeing, they were compelled to share and tell with everyone what had been revealed. Come behold the wondrous mystery. Like the stargazers from the east who recognized a new star, one that they had never seen before, not on any of their charts. They recognized the star marked the arrival of a king. And what did they do? They followed the star, asking all, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews?" And when they eventually found Jesus, they bowed down and worshiped him. Come, behold the wondrous mystery. That was roughly 2,000 years ago, but this invitation is just as much for us here tonight. Come, behold the wondrous mystery. What is this wondrous mystery? Well, John tells us the wondrous mystery is the Word becoming flesh. The Word becoming flesh. Let's break this down a little bit by the Word. What does he mean when he says the Word? Well, the Word, he says, that which is in the beginning with the Father. The Word, which John says is God himself. The Word, which John records, is the one through whom all things were made. The Word, a title for the second person of the Trinity. That Word became flesh. Come, behold the wondrous mystery. Now this word flesh that John uses here, we can think of this as synonymous with human, but it needs a little more to fully grasp the depth of wonder. See, humanity, you and I don't think this is a surprise to you, we're corruptible. Right? We have a tendency to not always do the right thing, to sometimes choose the actually thing that we know is not good for us. Because we're corruptible. The moment a child is born, it has the ability to be corrupted. We aren't immune from it. And the word John uses here for flesh indicates that part which is corruptible. Which is fascinating. It's not corrupted. He doesn't say the word became corrupted flesh. Flesh with the capacity to be corrupted. Having the opportunity to become corruptible. And John says the word, the second person of the Trinity, became flesh. Let's be sure we understand the depth of meaning. We may be tempted to think that Jesus, the one we call the second person of the Trinity, that he was God kind of covered in a human suit. It's not the case. His flesh wasn't a costume merely masking his divinity. Not like me. Earlier this year, I was at a costume party, and I looked like Tony Stark. Did the hair, the beard all the way, and Ginger like drew it on really well. I dressed up fancy like Tony did, and I resembled Tony. I even put glasses on. I throw a picture up. I don't feel like it. Tony Stark. I resembled Tony Stark, but I wasn't actually Tony Stark. I didn't just become a billionaire with a really cool nanotech Iron Man suit. I just look like the guy. sort of, resembled him. I didn't become him. But Jesus, he didn't just resemble humanity. He became flesh. Became signifies entering or assuming a certain state and condition. He didn't just look human, sound human, and feel human. He was human. Not just inhabiting some human suit, fully human, fully God. Come, behold the wondrous mystery. Again, I wonder, has this truth been retold so many times that it's lost its wonder? Has the season of Advent, Christmas, become such a busy time of year with traditions, gifts, celebrations, and gatherings that we miss out on this call to behold? That's where I was at. Getting gifts together, planning Christmas gatherings with three families, chorus concerts, Nutcracker, packing and preparing for a holiday getaway at a national park with the family, and preparing for the Christmas services. So when a close family friend of ours and they invited us to carol with them at a Good Shepherd this past Friday, my response was a bit grinchy, fueled more by a spirit in tune with Ebenezer Scrooge. I had stuff to do. I had messages to prepare. I had things to plan. But I went with the agreement that between the two, because there was a 10 a.m. caroling and a 2 p.m. caroling, I said, I'll go, but after and before, we need to set up shop so I can get some work done. That was so we found a coffee shop to do work. But I went, even if a bit begrudgingly. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day. And no, my heart didn't grow three sizes, but the Spirit did speak rather clearly to me that morning. As we're singing Christmas carols to children needing all kinds of therapy, some getting physical therapy for injuries, others getting life therapy for a lifelong handicap or debilitation. And we're singing a carol, and here's the words that I'm singing to this group of gathered children. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful step and slow, look up, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. About 20 minutes of singing, maybe 25. 20 minutes of dwelling among them. One child could only hold a bell with assistance, but she rang it with such energy and exuberance. Another child could really only lay there. And that's when the Spirit spoke to me. Said, come, behold the wondrous mystery, Chris. This is what Christ did for humanity. Broken, handicapped, debilitated humanity. Christ came in the flesh, reflected the glory of God, so that those who believe in him could become children of God. Those who believe, the broken, the hurting, the marginalized, the poor, the rich, the lonely, the popular, the bummed out Eagles fans. Yeah, I went there. That all who believe could become the children of God. The Son of God becoming human so that humans could become children of God. Come, behold the wondrous mystery. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift, your presence. That you came and that you're still here today. Lord, you sent your Spirit. So you came yourself, and then after you died, resurrected, and rose, you sent your Spirit, and your Spirit is here right now. Lord, move among us. Draw us closer to you. Help us to truly behold this wondrous mystery.